So, hello, I'm Elwood Bowers, and this is me interviewing my mum. Cheers.
I'm Sally Bowers.
Right. So, mum, how have evictions changed over the years
Well,
since you started travelling?
yeah, they have changed quite a bit. Legislation's changed. It seems to be far more difficult to actually travel. So evictions, when I first started, would be lots and lots and lots of us potentially getting moved en masse at the drop of a hat, basically, usually police evictions back in the 80s, around the Stonehenge time, when people were still trying to go for it, as we used to call it. There would be many evictions where we would just get moved on first thing in the morning, made to travel around for miles and miles and miles, and then generally end up just a few miles away from where we started in the morning. And then the same thing had happened the next day. Whereas as time went by and the evictions changed to, it would be more people would find somewhere to live en masse again, for safety a lot of the time, for protection, and for the community aspect of it all as well, because the Beanfield, which was where everyone got trashed on the way to the 1985 Stonehenge Festival by the police and under Margaret Thatcher, created a lot of fear within the travelling community. So, for example, your brother Ollie, when he was born at Crowborough in 95, we were under threat of eviction from there under the Criminal Justice Act. And the Wealden District Council, who evicted us, hadn't done the proper checks upon us, like the social and welfare, health, medical type checks, to make sure that we were able to be evicted, and they hadn't carried them out. So we challenged that, because your brother was, obviously I was pregnant with him, and we resisted it. We were allowed to stay, and in the end, what happened was, when it finally went to court at the Strand, Justice Sedley decided that we should be allowed to stay there, that Wealden District Council hadn't actually checked anybody's individual circumstances out. For example, me having Ollie, being pregnant with Ollie, there was a young girl on the site called Chelsea. And she had a prematurely fused skull, and she was going to have to go to hospital at Guy's to have an operation to release the pressure on her brain and have like a year of care afterwards from Guy's Hospital. And then there was also Tina Stratford, who'd had Lottie Stratford, and they hadn't. And she was a newborn, and they hadn't assessed that either. So Tracy Wales, Chelsea's mum, and Tina Stratford both took the challenge to court using the Public Law Project under Ravi Lobbia, and won the quashing of the eviction. So we ended up staying there for a long time. But it's interesting because you have to be an expert in law to almost to travel, and this is and be very tenacious and be able to have an inquiring and challenging and quite you have to have a lot of courage as well to do it too. And so that was Crowborough eviction. It finally did get evicted a few years later. When they did all the proper checks then and everything, so They'd actually read the 1894 Department of Environment circular, which says that they had to do it. So we moved on from Crowborough, and of course I was pregnant with you when we left Crowborough Barracks, and we arrived in Brighton at Patcham at Braypool Lane, and you were born there. And there was an eviction carried out from there when you were only a few months old. And they wanted to create a proper traveller site at Patcham. And to do so, they needed to disperse everybody from the site there to different locations around Brighton. And we ended up on Stanmer Park, which is quite cool, actually. It was a beautiful park. Other people ended up a place called Hangleton, which is near Shoreham. Their place looked more like a concentration camp. It was quite gross. Just concrete and huge metal fencing.
That's not very nice.
It was pretty horrible. But the actual eviction they carried out from there, because they did come down and evict us, was really quite... I'm trying to think of the right word to use. It wasn't a friendly eviction. It was quite a harassing eviction.
Offensive.
It was quite offensive, yeah. For example, you know, we've got the Scammel.
Yeah.
Our Scammel Explorer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of vehicles. It's a very muddy site. A lot of vehicles stuck in the mud there. And you were very small. I was still breastfeeding you. Obviously, Ollie was only three. Lolly was only six or seven. No, I think she was six.
She would have been six.
She would have been
Ollie's
six.
Ollie's 3 years older than me.
That's
and Lolly's 3 years older than Ollie.
Yeah.
So and it depends what your time of year it was.
Yeah.
Do you know what time of year it was?
The eviction, it would have been... You were born in the January, and I reckon it was around about the March, April time we were getting evicted.
So Lolly would have been seven, Ollie would have still been
three. I think Lolly was six. I think Lolly was six, because I remember her having her seventh birthday at Sedgemoor Services, southbound.
Oh, okay.
On the M5, as we moved from Basingstoke down to Cornwall.
Yeah.
Because you remember, she got given £2... for her birthday. Well, you won't, because you were tiny, but she was given £2.
Oh, and she swallowed it.
And she swallowed it accidentally. Yeah, she had them in her hands, and she's yawning. It says, time for bed, Lolly. And she stretched up, and the quid shot out, one of them shot out of her hand and went straight in her mouth, didn't it?
And she choked
and,
on it.
Yeah, so I can remember on her seventh birthday getting an x-ray of this quid inside her. She was all right, though. I mean, obviously, it was quite distressing at the time, but fortunately, she was okay, and it... But yeah, anyway, that eviction, it was, I and Dennis, your dad, pulled lots of people out of the mud, because there was some serious mud there, with the Scammel, like double-deckers up to their axles in mud,
so
you know what I mean?
Grand scale evictions,
And I said to the bailiff, right, I said, this is not going to be a really out-of-order nightmare eviction, is it? Promise me, please, I'm breastfeeding a young, you know, young boy, like a young baby boy, and I've got kids, and I have not moved any of my Empire rig a millimetre yet, because folk need pulling out the mud, so I'm going and winching them out with a Scammel and towing them and all the rest, and he promised me it wouldn't be. On the day of the eviction, I went out, you were still on site, I left you on site, went out in the landy to go and get diesel, to put in the Scammel and the motors to get start moving them off. And when I got back, I wasn't allowed in. I wasn't allowed back in.
But I was still in there.
And you were still in there, and I'm arguing with a guy, and then they sent me on this, like wild goose chase round the site. The guy would go, oh, see that guy over there in the yellow hat? Go and ask him. So I'd go and ask him, and he'd say, go and see that guy over there in the blue hat. So I'd go and ask him. He'd go, go and see that guy in the red hat, so I'd go and ask him, and then he'd direct me back to the first guy, and by this point, I was starting to get pretty upset, do you know what I mean? And I started to froth out, it was pretty intense, and what they were doing was, anything that left wasn't allowed back on, and that was how they were doing but it wasn't helpful, you know what I mean? I did feel like we were being terrorised
Yeah, I can imagine they probably thought they were being very helpful, didn't they?
But not at all. Absolutely. What they were doing. And it was absolute chaos.
Mm.
And obviously there were a lot of vulnerable people. Tina with Lottie, no, she didn't drive. She didn't even have a tow. You know what I mean? She was panicking. A lot of people were running around panicking, like, you know. So I hitched them up to the landing and towed them off to where they ended up. They ended up at the skateboarding park because I think there were about three different sites they wanted everyone to go to. So it's quite intense. And we ended up chipping off from Brighton anyway after Stanmer Park, after that Patcham eviction. We didn't bother going back because they said they were going to create and build like a traveller site, but I've not actually been back there. But from all accounts, they didn't really do a lot. I don't think they really did a lot. I think they threw a bit, threw a few like chippings down and stuff, maybe put a toilet block up, but that was about it. And I thought it was absolutely bizarre why they would want to evict everybody in order to do such little like development and to allow folk back on.
I don't think they know much of the requirements of of people like that. I think the most part of the requirement is to merely be left alone and not not, you know, you don't need gravel to graze on, do you?
That's it. A bit give and take and cooperation and mutual understanding, that sort of thing, you know, which is, you know, the key to any kind of success story, basically.
Yeah.
But
at least try and understand that, like, I don't know. Yeah.
So anyway, we chipped off from there. We didn't bother going back and we ended up doing a tour of, like, the Kent countryside. We ended up shortly afterwards, later that same year, on Crown Point, which is near to Sevenoaks. It's on the road between Crowborough and Sevenoaks, and there's another, I can't remember the name, a town beginning with an H in the middle, can't quite remember what that is now. It'll come back to me, but it's on that main road anyway. There was, we'd been parked on this lay-by for a while. We got an eviction order. I got in touch with Luke Clements, who is a human rights lawyer. Asked him to take on the eviction for us. He agreed, and we were coordinating that. One morning, very early, without warning, the police turned up to evict us. I was outside speaking to their chief officer who was present and saying to them that we
just turn up and just trying to get
well, there was one place, I'll go back to Crown Point, but when we were at Sandringham Road in Tunbridge Wells, when Lolly was a baby, they turned up, the police came, they were armed with guns. They were actually armed with guns.
Loaded guns?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if the guns were loaded or not, but I know they had guns guns. They were armed police.
Yeah.
We're talking, this would have been 92, 93?
Were they like pointing them at you and stuff? Or were they just
They were just, obviously, they had their guns with them. Do you know what I mean? And it was like we were forced off that morning. We'd only been there for a few hours. We had arrived at the site because we got an evicted off of Tunbridge Wells, like rooms where Lolly was born.
Did anyone else have weapons or they just came prepared?
No, they just came with weapons. Like they just turned up with weapons. I think there was quite a lot of top brass that lived down that road. Do you know what I mean? That wanted that full response coming out. So they, you know, they showed up like that and we got evicted. Most people had been up all night because we'd just got there. Folk were relieved, we'd done an eviction, they were exhausted, some people had been drinking, do you know what I mean? It'd been a bit of a party really because we were relieved to have moved off.
Yeah.
And we were all made to move off the following morning. And that's actually the kind of prequel, if you like, to Crown Point. Now, Crown Point was really disgusting because we had Steve Monday had been in a head-on collision with an articulated lorry outside sight, okay? And he was in hospital in London fighting for his life, right? His young family Helen and the kids, one of them had just come to the family. He's Steve's son from a previous relationship. He's having issues like settling into the family, literally just come to the family.
Yeah.
And they had a baby called Pebble, who was just a few like months old. Cute. Yeah, tiny.
Pebble.
Yeah, and Helen, who's a young mum, of Pebble's mum. Mm. And we had that going on, okay. Highly vulnerable. Mm. You were a baby. Obviously, Ollie and Lolly were small. There were other children on site. There was a lady there, Jo. She'd just had her little girl. And her partner, who'd been working on a farm with doing hops.
Mm.
And he was on the hop binding machine. He was guiding the hops. And the farmer told him to take down the guard and just to physically feed the hops into the hop machine. And he had the farmer was in the tractor in front with headphones on.
Mm.
His hand, I'm trying to remember Joe, Steph. Steph's hand got pulled down into the hop machine.
Yeah.
And it shredded all the flesh off of his hand. And fortunately the farmer heard him. And he managed to stop the machine. He's screaming. The farmer fortunately heard him, so he stopped the machine. They got his hand out. He had to go off. He had to have so many operations to reconstruct his hand. So you've got Steph and Joe with their little baby, right? Who've just gone through this.
Yeah.
And us. Yeah. Yeah. And
Sunday,
yeah, Steve Monday, bless him. He's in hospital fighting for his life, literally.
And then
they come down without warning. There was lots of families there, lots of children there. We're talking about children, young children at school, primary school. Children, yeah, all on this site. They just come down. I argued with the police officer all morning. I argued with him from 7 in the morning till about 12 o'clock that day. And said to him that at no point had we dropped this legal ball. Do you know what I mean? That we were challenging the eviction. And he just said, I phoned up Luke Clements. Luke Clements spoke to him on the phone. And Luke said to the officer that he was going to tell us that we were going to move to areas outside the red line marked on the map. Because there's always a map with an eviction paper. Mm. There's always a red line showing you where you're being evicted from. And there's always an area outside that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was advising us to pull onto. I mean, we took Crown Point. It's a lay-by. No one used it. It was closed off at one end. So we weren't obstructing the highway or anything, which is what they normally pull on us. So a few moments after chatting to Luke Clements on the phone, the police officer just stood up and ordered the complete clearing of the lane. That was it. He just moved his officers in. The bailiffs that he had with them were like Rottweilers. I'm not joking. They just kept running up to him and saying, nick him, and all this kind of thing, trying to get people arrested because they just seemed to, they think they were just in it. We have this term called meatheads. And he just they just seemed like meatheads. They just wanted a row. They wanted a fight and they wanted the police to act like they're kind of mercenaries and arrest people, what I mean, at will.
Yeah,
so that was pretty shocking. And we ended up getting evicted. We ended up in Oxted, I believe, on a lay-by there. And we ended up getting evicted quite a lot, basically, from that point. We were hounded out of the county. We had a police escort. We were escorted out of the county. Out of where's Sevenoaks in Kent, out of the county over the border, in Surrey, which is where I believe Oxford is.
Just dumped you off in Surrey.
Yeah, and put us on another lay-by and went away again. I mean, there was a
you're
guy.
Not allowed this lay-by. You can have this one. And then
I know because it's not in our county. because it's not in our county anymore. It's literally, I think we really wrapped top brass that time. But yeah, that was pretty appalling. And I'm trying to remember the name of the gypsy liaison officer, who the Kent gypsy liaison officer, who was at that time on a lay-by further down the road. He'd apparently broken one of his, I think it was his leg or something, and he was in charge of the eviction. But he wrote a book as well. Well, I always used to think that he was quite sympathetic towards travellers, but I had a very low opinion of him by the end of it. And I will recall his name before the end of this, because I think it's important that his name is mentioned in this context. Bill Forrester, Gypsy Liaison Officer for Kent. Later on, I went down from Dolly's Cross, which, you know, you remember, you know Dolly's, because it's just outside Coverack, isn't it?
Yeah.
I went with Jenny. She and I, we went to, for Traveller Space, we went down to... would it have been Traveller Space or maybe the Children's Society went, but certainly Caroline was involved, Caroline Dan, and she told us about it. So we went down and it was like a conference about travellers, and Bill Forrester was there, and I did ask him the question. I said, did he regret his decision to order the eviction of a vulnerable young family when the husband, the father, was in hospital fighting for his life in a coma, do you know what I mean? And Steph had had his hand. Did he regret his decision?
Yeah.
And I asked him directly the question, but he never responded. Mm. He never actually responded, but I felt like I need... That is actually the reason why I went to that conference, because I knew he was going to be there, yeah, and I wanted to ask him that question.
Yeah.
But he didn't answer it, so... I don't really know. I think at first, when I first started travelling around in the 80s and 90s and first heard about Bill Forrester and heard he'd written a book about travellers and stuff, I thought he was sympathetic towards us. But then having witnessed what he personally was involved in, my opinion of him sank like a stone.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, there was other people there. There was a guy there from the education... And he was stood there with us at Crown Point, and I said to him, where are we going to go? And he says, I don't know. I said, it's a school day. Do you know what I mean? And they're moving us on. It's not right. These children have got to go to school, and they're moving us on. But that was that eviction. That was pretty horrific. Oxted was horrific on some levels, because a few dogs went missing. Sid went missing, didn't he? Sydney went missing, our dog. And he went off with Fritz, his Johnny No Teeth's dog.
Yeah.
Right, and Sid didn't come back. They didn't. No, Fritzy didn't come back at all. But Sid turned up. And this was in the. I remember it's bonfire night. I reckon November. Yeah. By this time, this is when Crown Point happened. It was November of that year.
Yeah.
And pretty sure October, November. And Sid came back and he was absolutely exhausted, and it looked like he'd been hogtied, which is when they tie legs together and then hang them upside down. And he was he laid on a bed for 3 days solid and did not move.
Yeah.
He did not move for 3 days. And I thought he was going to die, but he come back around. But I think he'd been taken by somebody. Yeah, and Fritzy, and I think they'd been beaten. They'd been tied up and beaten, and I think Fritzy didn't make it.
Yeah,
but Sid
was
did.
An absolute beast, so Sid, he managed to get away.
Yeah, he was an absolute legend of a dog.
So
and then
was that
like,
the farm? Was that the farm? It was like at a farm, and then I swear that.
Do you remember living on?
I remember hearing it. No, I remember hearing about it, and I thought he did something about that.
Yeah, it was a lay-by in Oxted, basically. Yeah. That's where that happened.
Mm.
And then, like, we, you know, evictions, like, so... Well, after that, we ended up a few places... Not far from... Actually, Bramshill Forest. Not far from Bramshill Forest, actually, where I'd travelled around when I first started travelling. And then we got to Basingstoke. That's around the Basingstoke area, which is where we moved to Cornwall from. Yeah, and then we kind of based in Cornwall. We went back up round the home counties, and I remember we got evicted 8 times that year. The longest we spent at any site was 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And then we decided to settle back over in Cornwall. And so Dolly's Cross was an eviction. That was like a dormitory site for a flower farm, Scrimshaw's Daffodil Farm. And a lot of people, the pickers, lived there. But we went to stay there because we knew there were travellers there. And then that ended up getting evicted. That was a private eviction, though, private landowner eviction. Whereas most evictions are from, like,
councils.
Either county council or whatever. Of course, then the most recent one was Cobrack Car Park, and that was just like nothing else on this earth. Because we'd been there. It started off, it was Kerrier District Council land. It turned into County Council land because the districts dissolved into a unitary. And then after 3 years of it being county, it turned. They leased it to Parish Council, and Parish Council, St Kevin Parish Council, are the ones who evicted us from there. But obviously we'd been there for so long, we managed to get that certificate of lawful use for a residential caravan site. We were really excited that we'd created social housing in the middle of Coverack.
Yeah,
but there were individuals who were not happy about that. Although we did have a massive amount of support.
Everyone was supporting us. Even Cornwall County Council was supporting us up until the end.
Mm.
You know, where it started getting all gritty and I don't know. Where it looked like we actually had to move.
That's it.
I don't know, they didn't really support.
Well, it's just like, I think they were a bit scared of us and intimidated because we'd written an appeal and we'd lodged it and we were representing ourselves, and I think they felt quite threatened, and I think there's probably quite a real chance we could have ended up staying there and creating something for posterity there. But I think that's why they decided that when we did get evicted, that we weren't allowed to live in our vans while we moved everything, because obviously we'd accumulated a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff was broken down because we'd been there so long.
Mm.
And interestingly, they'd gone for it as soon as you left college, you being the youngest, and you being 18, so there weren't any children there anymore, and nobody at school anymore, so we didn't have any, you know, normally there's like somebody there that you can say, oh, they're sick, or, you know, they're vulnerable in some way and therefore you need to leave us alone, like on a human rights level. But we kind of lost all those kind of potential arguments once you turned 18 and had left college. And so, yeah, it was just bizarre that I think they were quite intimidated. So they wanted to make sure we actually left. And I think they wanted to make quite a public sort of statement about that.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, obviously being brandished as pure parasites by Russell Peters at the local parish council didn't help us at all, because that cascaded through the press. So you've got all that propaganda as well. People going, who don't know you, do you know what I mean, from miles away, saying, yes, get them mental. Gone, they're out of order, they're getting freeloading.
Yeah, the thing on Facebook, there was a West Britain thing on Facebook, and there was loads of people. Well, there was like one person that I did know, just like being absolute, just not being nice.
Mm-hmm.
And there was loads of people that I didn't know just on there, just like, oh yeah, like, what are they doing living on here? Like, how can't they afford a house?
Mm-hmm. Like, well, this is how propaganda works.
You have no idea, like, we don't want a house. Like,
indeed,
you don't even know what you're talking about. How are you wasting your time writing paragraphs on West Britain's Facebook? About people who don't like, I don't know, it's just, it seems a bit.
It is bizarre, but it goes on. It goes on, it's a very powerful tool, and the media gets rinsed like that for it, do you know what I mean? It's an age old thing, really.
Mm.
But yeah, not being allowed to live at home while you move things, in the middle of winter as well, because I think it was about October the something.
Worst part of the winter.
Yeah, over Christmas and New Year.
But yeah, it was fine up until December, and then January and February were minging, and there when we started trying to move in to our
New spot. Well, we didn't even know anywhere to go to, did we? We identified Trebo Cross, but then they bouldered it up.
Yeah.
Our only other option. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So it was kind of, it was intense for us, wasn't it? No, and we weren't allowed water, even though, because we'd had a water supply.
We weren't,
we weren't allowed to use water. And there were even complaints that we'd been seen sitting in our vans drinking tea.
Oh, how
it's like, oh, sorry, I didn't realise we weren't allowed to actually eat or drink whilst we performed this complete miracle of a move.
Yeah.
But fortunately, like, you know, we were offered a corner of a field and by Mickey Tyler, so we got somewhere. And of course, obviously, he's got planning for a traveller site specially for us. So, which is good. That's never happened before. I mean, it's like a fairy tale,
that's
almost.
Cool.
You don't hear, in reality, traveller sites actually being created. There's one at Wittendown.
It's pretty mental.
But
it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's kind of the thing about
the lizard
paying,
as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's on the lizard now.
That's it. And the thing about paying rent, though, it's kind of like, and all that. It's a bit strange.
Sorry,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, it's a bit weird, yeah.
You know, that's... I just hope we can afford it, but...
We'll afford it, for sure.
Yeah. But to be fair, that final eviction from Coverack, it felt more like a terrorist attack.
Mm.
That's how I felt. I felt like we were going to lose everything. They were threatening to make us lose everything. And literally,
like,
this is everything we've got. We don't have a council house up the country that we can bail off to. No, we can't go back to Granny's.
Go stay in the chalet.
Bless her, she ain't there. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't go back home and stop playing around or whatever. This is our home. This is our lifestyle. This is our way of life. And we have actively selected towards doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I do feel a lot more, I don't know if we'll ever get evicted again. Potentially, obviously it's going to be different. We're going to be writing
loads of cyclists,
a lease or something.